Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Load up the itinerary. Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we talk our head off coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from under the moonlight. We are camouflaged by the darkness, the Fox Sports Radio studios. Hope all is well. You are back tuned in to the Ben Maller Show, and for that, we thank you. So our lead this hour comes from the schedule app on your phone. It was a big day if you're excited about matchups. Matchups we already knew about. With much fanfare, the NFL release the ballyhooed regular season schedule. It happened early in the day and really throughout the day on Wednesday as there were convenient leaks. And eventually we got the whole ball of wax. I don't know if you paid any attention to this. Maybe not. The season opens up with the defending Super Bowl champion pirate ship that is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady, who's now 170 years old, will play quarterback for the Bucs against the bad-ankled Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. That'll kick it off September 9th. So that means that we have 120 days to prepare. So you have plenty of time to get your snacks ready. That 120 days away from the start of the NFL regular season, and about 90 days or so from training camp. So now, we've known all of these matchups for some time. The NFL changed its schedule. This is another thing we've been tipped off to. It's not like it's a secret. It's not a surprise here. For the first time in 44 years, in a blatant effort to make more money, they've expanded to the 17-game regular season, which means the final weekend of regular football before the postseason begins on Wild Card Weekend. The final regular season games will be played on Sunday, January 9th, 2022. The playoffs begin the week after that with Wild Card Weekend, and then the Super Bowl we played in La La Land, February 13th. Plan accordingly. Hopefully we won't have another pandemic by then, and we'll settle into a big football season. So let us discuss the question. NFL schedule release day, a tradition unlike any other. Big deal, little deal, or no deal at all? So I'll be the grouch on this one. I'm going to go no deal. I'm going to go no deal. That's where I'm going. Now, my observation on this, you've got the restaurateur, Lazy River, and Mr. Miyagi. And we will combine all of these things together. It is really, if you've been with me a long time here, and I've been doing this a while, it is our obligatory Maller monologue on why this is lame for 99% of the football-loving world. So I will be the one to rain on your parade. Now, number one. So people get worked up into a tizzy about these made-for-TV marquee matchups. I always find this perplexing. Maybe I shouldn't. It happens year after year. But many of these matchups either fail to live up to the hype or they do not live up to the anticipation because of injury. For example, Dak Prescott and the Cowboys had several high-profile games that were irrelevant because Dak Prescott had snap, crackle, and pop on his resume, and that led to the Cowboy games continuing to be shoved up our yin-yang, but not very interesting there at all. We also noticed this time of the year people always bitching about who's got it easy or who's got it hard based on strength of schedule. which is determined by last year, right? What happened in 2020? For example, just for reference, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Atlanta Falcons have the easiest schedules in the year 2021, and the toughest schedules based on last year's results, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Baltimore Ravens, and the Chicago Bears, the monsters of the Midway. But remember, as they say in investing, past results do not guarantee future outcomes. And you start fresh, right? You hit the reset button, all those hokey things that we say at the beginning of a new season. And I buy into that. Like, the teams are different. The players change, the desires change, the wants, all of that. Some teams that had the fire in their belly no longer have it. Other teams that didn't have it find it. Now, the other thing that comes up here this time of the year is, well, wait a minute. Would you rather have a front-loaded or a back-loaded schedule? And many brain cells are used to try to determine which is more important. That's easy peasy. Right? As far as that question gets asked every year, my answer has been the same. It's like being a restaurateur. If you open up a restaurant, you want to have a soft launch. So you want a backloaded schedule, right? You want to start out and open up your restaurant. You don't really announce it. And you're going against a bunch of cream puffs and tomato cans in September and October. That would be ideal. And then you, down the line, you play the behemoths, because if you play those good teams early, it's usually a recipe for disaster. Not always, but it generally leads to coaches on the hot seat, quarterbacks getting benched. And if you're 2-6 after 8 games, there's not a lot of excitement for the rest of the schedule. You also have the travel fearmongers that come up with the schedule. People in a panic because, oh my God, we've got a tough travel schedule. East Coast teams complaining about traveling to the West. West Coast teams, dome teams complaining about having to play in Buffalo in December. Oh my God, no, it could be snowing. There could be lake effect snow in Cleveland. No. My response has consistently been, suck it up, buttercup, right? I mean, geez, really? Oh no, we have to go to cold weather. Oh man, we got to sit on a plane and eat peanuts for 5 hours and fly out to Seattle. God forbid, right? Grow some hair on your chest. My God. It's supposed to be difficult. I think at some point it's supposed to be hard for every team. If it wasn't hard, there would be a problem, right? Wouldn't there be a problem? The hard stuff is what makes an accomplishment meaningful. It gives a sense of achievement. But no, it's too difficult. Oh, my God. Now, second thing here, in general, one of my pet peeves, I've always tried to avoid list radio. I always try to stay away from that. And on the holidays, I work a lot of holidays. I generally don't take a lot of time off, but I'll work like Thanksgiving. I'll work not so much recently around Christmas, but I know the tropes of sports radio. Like Thanksgiving, the cliches are, what are you thankful for in sports? Or, who gets the stuffing and who gets the cranberries, and then on Christmas, who's been naughty and who's been nice? I mean, these are all hokey, evergreen things that lazy sports talk radio hosts get involved in. And this schedule day, in many ways, has become the lazy river of sports radio, where your local radio guy gets on there and plays the schedule game. All right, let's play the schedule game. Win-win, loss-loss, win-win, loss-loss-loss, which is riveting. A riveting listen. Listen, on this show, we do not need excuses. We don't need excuses. We've been grandfathered in, given special exemption to talk football pretty much every day of the year. It's been 95 days since the Buccaneers upset the Chiefs in Super Bowl 55. Every single day that I have walked in here and had a microphone, we have been the chatterbox of football. We had months of draft nonsense, free agency shenanigans, daily updates on Deshaun Watson. Is he a pervert? Is he not a pervert? Aaron Rodgers having a meltdown in Green Bay more recently. Tim Tebow coming back and all the race baiters very upset that Tebow's coming back, playing the race card from the bottom of the deck. So we have real and manufactured stories. And whether they're real or manufactured, we manage to squeeze them in pretty much every day. Now, the final point here, all right? Now, as the hype gets ratcheted up, and I guess I should be supporting this because I know that the lights are kept on around here because of the NFL. But this year, the NFL went all out. They used the network morning news shows to leak the schedule. Well, not really leak it. It was all planned out, choreographed for week one. Like you're getting tipped off your Christmas or Hanukkah toys, which is horse crap. When you take three steps back, you realize that this is just some scribbling in dates on a calendar is pretty much what this is. I'm not against that, but we have known the matchups for months. The NFL website tossed out the schedule. Now, there was a small but hittable curveball, 17th game. But those matchups we knew about anyway. And now we know the rest of the story. And the 1%, by the way, I said 99% of the people doesn't really affect. The 1% of people that are traditionally impacted by schedule day are sports reporters that travel to NFL games and the people that book travel agencies, if you still use those, or the people that run hotels. If you're a reporter, typically you run to your phone, to your favorite travel websites, and book hotel rooms before price gouging begins, which is traditional, right? Opportunistic hotel owners and operators there at the local bed and breakfast jack up the rates when the Cowboys are coming to town because they know they have a captive audience. From a strategic standpoint, though, like wins and losses, wins and blankety-blank losses, it's not going to tip the scales, the schedule, even with the quirks, unless you are mentally weak. And I learned this as a kid watching Karate Kid with the great Mr. Miyagi, who said, "Patience, young grasshopper." Right? Great lines there in cinema. And everything is going to play out as it should. If your team is good enough, believe it or not, even if you have to play, back-to-back road games, in different locations with bad weather and all this other adversity, you're still going to make the playoffs. Live long and prosper. And at the same time, if your team is so weak, so small-minded, and so inferior that they can't handle a couple of burps in the schedule, then they don't deserve to make the postseason. This is this lame theory that gets regurgitated. Well, they would have made the playoffs, but that schedule, the schedule was the problem. No. Every single one of these dopey NFL teams will play 17 games, at least 8 at home, at least 8 on the road. They have the one bonus game, which is a toss-up. Additionally, every team will perform those 17 show dates in the 122-day window of the regular season. 4 months, right? 4 months. It begins September 9th. It ends the regular season on January 9th, and then the playoffs begin a week later. So, again, I've just spent the last 15 minutes ranting and raving about this, but the point is you're going to play the same number of games. You've known who you're going to play. Some games will be played in bad weather. Some games will be played in great, wonderful weather. And at the end, we'll look at the standings and see who actually did their job and who didn't and who puked. And it's not going to have anything to do with when the game was scheduled, so just stop.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It is a flashabaca, a flashabaca. Welcome in the beginning of yet another hour. It's the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we have diarrhea of the mouth, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond, on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from inside the theater of the mind, the Fox Sports Radio studios. Good to have you along with us. So this hour, a football power hour. No, I am not going to regurgitate the schedule. No. You know, I have attention deficit disorder. I like to talk about different things when possible. So our lead this hour comes from a player that was a big deal for about a year or two in the NFL. It comes out of the land of cheese. The Green Bay Packers have made a roster move, and people are chirping about what the Pack did. What did they do? Did they trade Aaron Rodgers? No. Did they fire the GM, Brian Gutekunst? Absolutely not.
Relax.
Then what happened? You missed it. Green Bay has made an addition to the quarterback room. They have added Blake Bortles. Woo-hoo! OMG! Sweet baby Jesus. Blake Bortles is going to Northern Wisconsin. How great is that? Yeah, so this is the story that people, believe it or not, this is actually a story. In the NFL world, this has currency. In the NFL world, this has currency. People are trying to figure out, what does it mean? What does it mean? Does it have some secret meaning? Is there some kind of code? Do we need to know? Do we need a Rosetta Stone to figure out what's going on? So let us discuss the question. We'll just cut to the chase. The question, does Blake Bortles' addition have any impact on Aaron Rodgers' situation? Meaning, are these two things connected? And the idea that this somehow means Aaron Rodgers' departure is guaranteed, because why else would the Packers add a quarterback? I am giving this one a super-duper eye roll, is what I'm doing, okay? So I have palm tree, worldview, and eggshells. And we will tie all of these things together. Now, A, Blake Bortles, I didn't know this neurosis existed among the football world, but for the casual NFL watchdog who hides behind their smartphone on social media there and calls into random radio shows, the reaction here, it's a tempest in a teapot situation, right? People are overreacting. We're talking about head spinning like a helicopter. Like, if I were advising you, if you're one of these people, oh my God, Blake Bortles is going to Green Bay. It's all over. Brett Favre said Aaron Rodgers is going to get out of there. He's not going to be back. Rodgers doesn't want to be there. Oh my God. Breathe into a paper bag. Blake Bortles entering the scene for the Packers doesn't change the script. And if you think it does, sorry! It's not true. I wish it did. Trust me, I wish it did. I wish I could come up with a scenario where it did do something. It doesn't. Be a much better story, and it'd be much sexier to say, well, this means that the Packers have already got a deal lined up. No, it doesn't. Adding Blake Bortles is akin to putting an extra palm tree on the set of that old TV show Baywatch back in the day, right? It doesn't dramatically alter the script, nor what you're looking at, because no one's looking at, you know what I mean? I mean, it's, come on. Bortles is just off-season roster filler until proven otherwise. He's background noise. The Packers worked out quarterbacks, and he's the one they liked the best out of the group, and so they brought him in. Now, part B of this, I would like to play, it's not really a drinking game, but it's the Blake Bortles game. All right, so you are a glass. Is your glass half full, or is your glass half empty and cracked? And so I'm going to use this to determine your worldview when it comes to the Bortles signing in Green Bay. Now, on one side, you have the glasses half full, the Pollyanna crowd, who can actually upsell Blake Bortles. Like, if I was trying to sell you, like a used car salesman, Blake Bortles, I could say, assuming you're suffering from amnesia, that, hey, this guy has so much upside. He's going to make some noise in Green Bay. Number 3 overall pick. You got to have amazing talent to be a number 3 pick, Blake Bortles. This guy's led the NFL in 3 statistical categories. 3 of them. Had a season with over 4,400 yards passing and 35 or more touchdowns. Led a team to the AFC Championship game, then they blew the lead late against the Patriots back in 2017. Guy holds 7 franchise records in Jacksonville. See, if I was trying to sell Blake Bortles, that's what I would do. But I'm on the other side. I'm holding the glass that is cracked and half empty. I'm Skepticus Maximus is what I am here. So here's the real Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles is one of the great flops in this last era of the NFL. And he does lead the NFL on three statistical categories in his career. He's led the NFL in interceptions and sacks twice. All right, he's become a football nomad since leaving Jacksonville. He's bounced to the Rams, to the Broncos, and then back to the Rams. And since the start of the 2018 season, Blake Bortles has all of 13 touchdowns and 11 interceptions and a quarterback rating under 80. So it's not like a God's gift to the quarterback's going to walk in. Now, you could also argue that Blake Bortles has as many playoff wins in the last few years as Aaron Rodgers does, but seeing is believing until proven otherwise. Again, Blake Bortles is merely an extra body for the offseason program, which is beginning here, and a training camp, which will take place in July. All right, last word on this. Now, the reason that Blake Bortles makes sense for the Packers, and it's really staring you right between your eyes, right? And it is related to Aaron Rodgers, but it's not like, you know, if Aaron Rodgers walks away, oh my God, you know, it's like Aaron Rodgers is on edge. He's a delicate little flower. He's a verklempt is what he is with emotion. And so it's possible that Blake Bortles will be needed, but the plan is that he won't be needed. He's just in case. You know, it's one of those things that you probably don't need, but you have just you know, you have like a, if you live in the West Coast, you live in earthquake country, you have an earthquake kit. You hope you don't need it. You might have some food rations, or if you live in a part of the country that gets hurricanes, you might have a place where you have some stuff just in case. So, I mean, there's different things. You live in tornado country. There's different ways you prepare. So you don't necessarily need that stuff because it might not happen, but just in case you have it. So, and Green Bay's front office is walking on eggshells as they attempt to get Aaron Rodgers to sign essentially a peace treaty with the front office. But Blake Bortles is benign, right? He is harmless. He's non-threatening because he's not good. Aaron Rodgers will not object to bringing in Blake Bortles because he's not concerned about Blake Bortles. In addition, let's say that Aaron Rodgers goes full radical and decides to hold out. Says, I'm not going to play. Sorry, I'm not going to play. Okay. Well, Jordan Love, he becomes the starter, and he doesn't have to look over his shoulder and be concerned about Blake Bortles. No one's concerned about Blake Bortles. So it's a win-win situation, and he likely won't make the team. So there you go. That's the Blake Bortles story in a nutshell.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
And away we go, Koopaloo.
Late last week, Wade Miley threw the fourth no-hitter of this young season. No-hitters have become much more frequent in recent years, and they're coming pretty close to perfection more often. Now, we're also seeing them come from less-than-elite players like Miley. Ben, do you think no-hitters are losing their significance?
Well, when Wade Miley's throwing a no-hitter as a journeyman pitcher on his seventh team, it doesn't look good. These events historically are rare. 300-something no-hitters, the perfect game. They've been less than 25. But the problem is nobody tries to just get hits. Everyone's trying to hit home runs. Three true outcomes. It's either a home run, a strikeout, it's enough, or a walk. So, to me, that's the issue. Next!
Ben, as the NBA regular season winds down and the playoffs approach, I have to ask you, Who are your picks to come out of the play-in games in each conference?
All right, so I have a bet with Rob Parker, so I need the Washington Wizards because I bet Rob on that. I think I'm going to win that bet just if they make the play-in tournament. And then I think in the West, like Golden State, that would be cool. See the Lakers lose. Next!
Every week, it seems Shohei Ohtani is achieving some rare accomplishment. Ohtani now sports a 2.10 ERA, along with an OPS of 903. Ben, do the Angels need to make the playoffs in order for Ohtani to win the MVP?
Well, it wouldn't hurt. The problem Ohtani's got is Mike Trout's the leading MVP guy. They're teammates, so it's going to split the vote. No one really has taken the bull by the horns for the MVP race. How did we do?
You fail, Ben.
That's a win. He texts me that I won, so I count that as a win.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It is that time. Here it is.
Yeah.
Strike up the band.
It's now time for...
What did you think was going to happen?
I thought he was going to say, yeah, and he was going to boom, he's going to hit that, and it was like a dead air.
Send us your questions on Twitter now.
And away we go. It's Ask Ben. Your questions, our answers, random questions and random answers right now. And at the dais, the keeper of the questions, the Coop Dalu.
All right, Ben, this is a question for everybody. This is from Breadman Bill.
Hi, Bill.
And he wants to know, as a kid, what was your favorite thing to get at the Little League snack bar?
Nachos. Love the nachos. Gooey nachos. You had to eat them fast because once the cheese cooled down, it was disgusting and the chips would all get soggy. But gooey, neon orange nachos. Eddie?
I'm in somewhat of the ballpark. The Frito Boat. You guys know the Frito Boat?
Yeah, like a gut buster.
I don't know. Maybe. It's like they would take like the package of the Fritos and they would just put like the chili
cheese
in there.
On, yeah, cheese on.
A fork
yeah,
and say, here
that
you go.
Cheese on. I didn't have that where I, my Little League, they did not have that, Eddie. I had the nachos, though. You're lucky. You're more of a higher class crowd there.
Clearly.
The Frito Boat. Roberto?
Yeah, the nachos there. My daughter's playing Little League right now, so yeah. Still going for the nachos.
You're flashing back.
Yeah,
you're still eating the nachos.
She's getting
man.
The nachos, too.
Yeah, solid. What about you, Coop?
I was the nachos were also a go-to for me.
Look at that. Or
I also liked if available, and it was way back in the 90s when I was going to
I wasn't even alive when you were a kid.
Also the French fries.
Fun dip. Like, you know.
Oh yeah, the fun dip with the thing it was the white stick thing that
sugar.
Yep.
Sugar and sugar.
God. Yeah. That's solid.
Healthy.
Yeah, cuz the candy was always the back of it. Yeah, like they'd always try to show you all the candy and there's a lot
beautiful.
Of the same stuff. Yeah.
That was the way to live.
I would vomit if I tried to eat that today, I think.
You couldn't eat a Frito Boat right now.
No, I could eat a Frito Boat, but that stick of sugar into the powdered sugar and you just
couldn't
eat
that.
Oh,
so good.
I remember the Big League Chew. I used to love the wad of gum with the Big League Chew. That was awesome, man. All right, real quick, one more, and then we'll have a longer block here of Ask Ben.
This is an easy one, a quick one, from Chris on Twitter.
Hi, Chris.
When going to a restaurant, do you prefer tables with chairs or a booth?
You know, that's a great question. When I was morbidly obese, I always hoped for a chair. But now that I actually fit in booths, I love the comfort of the booth.
You weren't worried about breaking the chair?
No, I was worried about the table being, you couldn't move the table and I wouldn't fit in the booth.
Right.
So that was very awkward. So I always try to avoid the booth. But now I love the booth because I fit. And so I love it. What about you, Eddie?
I'm booth guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roberto?
Booth.
Booth?
Yeah.
Booth. Cool.
Yep, booth bro.
All right, we love the booth. It's all about the booth. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. Keep the questions coming. Use the hashtag AskBen. AskBen. Your questions, our answers. For, as the late, great Larry King would say, for the rest of the hour.
Los Angeles, hello.
Hello.
They're still running his infomercials, by the way, and he's dead.
Are people buying stuff?
I don't know.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
And to Ask Ben, your questions are answers. It continues for the rest of the hour. Back over to Koopa Loop we go for the reading of the questions.
All right, so this might be a quick one because I don't know if it's meant for everyone or just for me.
Okay.
But Let's see. K&D Collins would like to know, how much money do you budget to gamble per week?
Well, I don't really have a set amount per week, but you know, normally when I make a trip to Vegas, I have that's the big one to have the budget. But you know, I don't bet a ton. More in football season than anything. But you know, baseball. Of course, it's illegal, Coop, to bet where we live, so I don't bet anything. You know, except when I go to
right,
Vegas.
Of course.
I think that's the proper answer. I think I'll defer until gambling, sports gambling, becomes legal in California to answer that question. Eddie, you a gambler?
No, I don't gamble at all, other than the odd, stupid bet with coworkers. That's about it.
Okay. Roberto, any?
No, just fantasy. That's
just
it.
Fantasy, okay. Yeah. So I guess that is a quick question. All right, what's next here? What do we have? What do we have?
Well, my answer, Ben.
Oh, I'm sorry, Coop. I thought,
Baller.
I usually take about $300 to a poker game, Ooh. General poker game.
Interesting. And how much do you bet each hand of poker?
The blinds are $2 and $3.
Oh, okay. So that'll last. I mean,
well, yeah, it can get out of hand really quickly, but
yeah,
it's not crazy stakes. All right. Let's see. Next question here. I'm gonna skip that one. Nate the beer guy wants to know. Of course, he wants to know, what is your favorite beer?
I'm pretty simple when it comes to beer. I usually, as you guys know, when you come to the Ugly Sweater Party, I drink the root beer, which is pretty much just sugar with high alcohol content.
Not your father's.
Not your father's. Yeah, that's my go-to at the holiday party for years. We didn't have it last year. But I'm trying to think of what I pretty much would drink anything back in the day. But that's the one I go to. Now, what about you, Eddie? Anything?
If I can choose, my beer of choice is Newcastle Brown Ale.
Yeah, I used to drink Heineken a lot back in the day. What about you, Roberto? What about you?
Dos Equis Amber, great beer. And Modelo, Negra Modelo, great beer.
Yeah.
And right. for the a clear lager, Pacifico.
Pacifico. Right. I got you. All right. What about you, Coop?
Absolutely none of them.
You hate beer. You
yes.
don't drink any beer. You're
zero.
Beer snob. You've got the weed. You don't need the beer.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Okay.
And if I really want to get hammered, I go with Don Julio.
Yeah, that's for the big events, you know?
Tequila, yeah.
I got you. All right. You don't go Johnny Walker Blue or anything like that? Or Johnny Walker
Johnny
Black
Walker Blue is great, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You get your hands on it. You got it at Costco.
When I was doing stuff with the Dodgers, there was a guy that loved Johnny Walker Blue.
I love whiskey's good, too. I like some whiskey.
Yeah. All right. What is next here? It's Ask Ben Your Questions, Our Answers.
This is an interesting question. This is from Late Night Drug good. Tester.
All right.
Do you have an atlas or state highway map in your car to guide you as a backup in case your cell service goes out while traveling?
That is a good question. No, I have fond memories as a kid before the apps on the phone. We used to go to the auto club and get maps. That was always cool. I love looking at maps and looking at different places. But no, I don't even know. I would be able to read a map. I don't know if my wife would be able to read a map these days. But we don't... I mean, she didn't have. I mean, she really hasn't had to worry about it.
My girlfriend can't read a map either.
Yeah, I could probably still read a map, but no, I don't have maps. Eddie, any maps?
Yeah, when I first moved to LA like 25 years ago, everyone's you got to get a Thomas guide. You got to get a Thomas guide.
Thomas guide. That was a big one. Yeah.
I never bought one, and no, I don't have anything in my car. If the GPS craps out, I'm just screwed.
Okay, Roberto.
No, I don't have anything either. But yeah. My dad always had his Thomas guide, man. In case we need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baller old man move. Yeah. Got to have the big book of maps
guy,
right there.
Yeah.
All right.
Throwback.
Coop, any?
My mom also had the Thomas guide. That thing was awesome under the front seat of the car.
Same.
Justin, pull out the Thomas guide.
Yeah, same. My dad.
but no, I don't keep anything. And you know, now that I think about it, that'd be kind of. I do have a. a GPS like in my car, but my car's so old now that the touchscreen doesn't work, so I can only see within like a 2 mile radius of where my car currently is. So I would just have to drive around aimlessly until I see like a freeway on there, and then I could be like, oh, there we go.
Well, the degree of difficulty would go up, but it would be fun. It would be like a game.
Quick one from Mr. Diaz. Have you guys ever shoplifted? Did you get caught?
No, I think as a kid, I might have eaten like peanuts when my mom was shopping. Or that's the closest I came without paying for them. But no, Eddie.
Yes, I did. I lifted a pack of gum, got caught, and my dad whipped my ass.
Yeah, good. Good for you.
Yeah, he did. Whipped my ass good.
Yeah.
Roberto.
Never did it again.
Yeah, I shot up to the bubble gum, I think it was.
Oh, me and Roberto liked the gum.
With the bubble gum.
I didn't get caught, though. You were better at it than me.
What about Coop? Did you steal anything?
I stole a soda from my school cafeteria.
No, that's not right.
Many sodas, actually.
Yeah.
Cereal lifter.
Soda's pretty good, though. It's solid.